This is the Daf Yomi Masechet Review, Masechet Baba Kama, tape number 2. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechet. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klalim of the Masechet. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Reb Noson Meir Ben Shneur Zalman Levin Zichroni Livracha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Amma, about 2.5 blot into the second parak, Parak Ketzad HaRegel, at the Mishnah and Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. Before we begin, let us just review some of the general rules and characteristics of the 6 primary damages that are discussed in this Masechta. Those 6 damages are Keren, Shein, Regel, Bor, Adam, and Esh. Keren is basically when one animal gores another animal, or gores a person. Shein, simply defined, is when an animal eats something. Regel, simply defined, is when an animal steps on something. Bor is the damages involving a pit. Adam is the damages involving a person who does damages. And Eish involves a fire. But there are some more specific descriptors or specific common characteristics or characteristics of each of these damages that helps to define them a little bit better and more broadly than simply it gores another animal. Keren, the specific common denominator of Keren, is any damage which an animal does where it is kavanasai lahazik, where the animal has a predetermined thinking and predetermined reason to do it, and it thinks through, and then it goes and does it. That's called kavanasi lahazik. Then it falls under the category of keren. Additionally, if an animal does something which is called mishuna, an act which is very different and not normal, something that which an animal normally does not do, this is a toldo of keren, and therefore it also falls under the category of keren. Keren has a special payment schedule, in that normally damages, when something is damaged, the person or the owner of an animal which does damage has to pay the full value of the item that was damaged. Keren is an exception. If an animal gores once or twice, then we determine that the animal really doesn't do this on a normal basis, but rather it's something which is done only once in a while, and it doesn't have a pattern of doing the damage. Therefore, the animal is called a tam, and the damage is only chatzi nezek, half of the value of the damage. If, however, the animal gores or does damage, which is under the category of kavanas lahazik, and therefore determined as keren, if it does it a third time, then obviously this is an animal which is in the habit of doing this type of damage, and it's called a mu'ud, and therefore the damage for that would be nezek shalom. The owner would pay the full value of the damage. The second category is shein. Now, while shein generally is defined, and simply defined as the animal eats something, rather it's broader than that. If the animal does any damage where it is yesh hana lehezeka, where the animal actually has benefit or benefits, derives benefit from or enjoys the damage that was done, this also falls in the category of shein. The special halachic ramification or the implication of shein is that shein is always pater b'rishus harabim. Although if the animal has hanola hazeka and it's something that's done at a rishus hayachid, the owner has to pay damages because of shein. But if this particular thing happens in rishus harabim, the owner is pater. For example, if food is sitting in rishus harabim and the animal sticks its head into the food and eats from it, the owner of the animal is pater. Why? Logically, you could say that if a person puts food and lets it sit in rishus harabim and doesn't watch over it, then it's not the fault of the animal that eats it. The person should have been more careful leaving food in a rishus harabim. Therefore, if the animal does damage, its owner is pater. Regel, the characteristic, is hezeka motzei. This is something which is found fairly common, meaning that regel sort of defines that, because if an animal is just walking, then that's something which the animal normally does all the time. So anything that falls under the category of hezeka motzei, then that's called regel. And therefore the owner would be chayev nezek shalom. There are 2 special halachas within regel. One is the halacha of chatzi nezek tzreiros. The animal is walking in a rishus harabim, and rather than stepping on something directly, it steps on a stone, which then goes flying, and that stone then does damage to something else, then the owner is only chayev chatzi nezek. This is called the special halacha of halacha l'moshe misinai, which is chayev only chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek tzreiros. In addition, the same way that shein is pater b'rishus harabim, so too regel is pater b'rishus harabim. Because again, if a person leaves something valuable on the ground, the person should say, you know, you don't leave something in rishus harabim on the ground, because animals are commonly walking there. It's matzoi for an animal to be walking there. Therefore, you shouldn't put it there in the first place, and if an animal steps on it, the owner is putter, if it's Birshus HaRabim. Next, we have bor. Bor is not only a pit, but it's anything which is made for the purpose of doing damage, because what else is a bor there for? A bor is there and actually causes damage. If a person steps in it, he gets hurt. Therefore, if a person digs a bor, digs a pit, and someone falls into it, or actually he puts anything in the Rosh Hashanah which could potentially do damage, he's chayev if a person gets hurt. The special halacha involving bor is that, generally speaking, a bor is putter if kelim fall into it. This is a machlekes, but many people hold that bor is putter b'kelim. Next we have adam, a person. If a person does damages, then he's not only chayev for nezek, but he's chayev for a number of other things as well. Normally, if a cow does damage, he's only chayev for nezek. But if a man does damage, he's chayev not only for nezek, but he's also chayev for tsar, ripoy, sheves, and baishas as well. Tsar is for the pain caused. Ripoy is medical and doctor bills to heal whatever it is that the person who was damaged has to be healed for. Sheves is unemployment payments, and baishas is for the embarrassment. And finally, we have esh. If a fire does damage, the special halacha tied to esh is tamun. If something is hidden, then that's putter if the fire consumes it. And now let us begin from the Mishnah on Daf Yotes Amud Beis. And the Mishnah asks, in what cases is shein considered to be a muad, where the owner of the cow must pay for the cow's damages when it eats or has hana from damages, i.e. yesh hana la'zeka? Mishnah answers, when a behema is mazik by eating food that is normal for it to eat. In a case like this, the owner is chayev nezek shalim. If the animal ate ksus aikelim, clothing or kelim, or vessels, then it pays only chatzi nezek, since it's not normal for an animal to eat these things. It's considered a tolda to karen. See, now it's not shein anymore, because even though it ate it, but since it's something which is not normal for an animal to do, it's something which is mishuna, now it falls under the category of karen, as we mentioned before. If something is mishuna, something ad, then it falls under karen. And since it's done for the first time, therefore, first time, it's considered a tam, and therefore the chiyav is only chatzi nezek, but not nezek shalim. And these damages are only chayev if the damages took place birshus hanizik, in the rishus of the nizik. But if the animal ate peiros of someone in a rishus harabim, the owner is putter, since shein is putter birshus harabim, because the pasuk says ubir bistei acher. This nezik is only chayev if it grazes in someone else's field, or in someone's field for that matter, bistei acher. But if it's birshus harabim, shein beregel are putter birshus harabim. However, if the animal benefited from the eating, even birshus harabim, the owner must still pay for the hana he got out of it. For example, he now doesn't have to feed him supper. The animal goes and eats something. Now the owner, although the owner doesn't really have to pay damages, but the owner still has to pay for the value of the fact that he doesn't have to feed him supper, because now he's already eaten supper. Birshus harabim is only if the animal ate from the middle of the street. But if the animal ate mitzide harachava, from the side of the street, the owner must pay nezek shalom, since that's considered like it's birshus hanizek, but not birshus harabim. And the Gemara says, if a cat ate dates, or a chamor ate fish, even though they don't normally eat them, but since they would eat them b'shas hadchak, if they damage them via shein, the payment would be nezek shalim. Daf chaf. The achrayim here learn that not only if an animal eats a food that's not normal for it to eat, the owner is only chayev chatzi nezek, but even if it eats a normal food, but the place it ate it was not normal, the chiyev is also only chatzi nezek. The Gemara says normally shein is patur b'rishus harabim, but if in rishus harabim animal A ate out of a basket tied to the neck of animal B, the owner of A is chayev, since the bag of another animal isn't called rishus harabim, but rather chatzer hanizek. However, the back of a behema is called rishus harabim. But if it's kaifetzes, it jumps to grab off a back of another animal, the owner is chayev, because this is considered bederech mishuna, not considered normal, and therefore is chayev. Rav says, if a nizek leaves a ksus in rishus harabim, which is something which is a shinoi, unusual, and then a behema comes and is mishana via shinui, this owner of this behema is completely putter, since we now have two shinuyim, and call hamishana uba acher v'shina, putter. The Shita Mekubetzes explains this p'tor. Since person number one is the gairim for the behema to do the hezek, so it's not really the behema's fault, since he was encouraged to do the hezek. Therefore, the bal ha-behema is putter. But Shmuel says the bal ha-behema is only putter for shein birshus harabim if the behema ate food in rishus harabim. But if it ate ksus or kelim, the bal ha-behema is chayev. This is considered karen. Therefore, he's chayev. If a behema in Rishus HaRabim eats someone else's peris, his owner is potter, but he still must pay for the hana. How do we calculate this quote-unquote hana? Rabba says we only value the hana at the value of straw. Even if the animal ate barley, he pays only for straw. Since that what he normally, that's what the Bala Behema would have normally fed him. Rava says, he must pay for the barley, but cheaper barley, which is two-thirds of the higher value. Since he could have gotten barley at such a cheap price, he would have given him barley. In other words, if there would have been a place he could have gotten it at a cheaper price, he wouldn't have paid him the higher value barley, but rather the cheaper barley. Therefore, that's what he pays the person for. The Gemara says an interesting question came up in the Beis HaMedrash, where Reb Chisda learnt. This question was called a Milya Malyusa. If one lives in his friend's chotzer without his das, hador b'chotzer chaveray shalei midaiter, does he have to pay him rent or not? If it's a non-income producing property, a property delay kaima la'agra, and the guy that moved in did not need it since he already had a house, what's the shaila? This is considered a case of zel loy nehena v'zel loy chaser. So therefore, of course he would be putter from paying. However, let's say it is an income producing property, and the guy that moved in does need an apartment. It's a gavra, the ovid lemegar, someone who needs an apartment. So of course he's chayev, because it's a case of ze nehena v'ze chaser. Ze nehena, because the person needs a place to live, and now he found a place to live. V'ze chaser, because the person who owns the property would normally be able to get rent for it, and here he's not getting any rent. So of course he would be chayev. The shaila only is where it is a non-income producing property, but the guy does need an apartment. The person who lives in it needs an apartment. So the person who owns it normally would not have any income coming into it. It's a income, it's a property de la kaima la agra. But the person who lives in it is a gavra di avid lemegar. The person needs a property. Therefore, this person should really normally have paid for the apartment. So this is a case of zenehena vizele chaser. So do we say that the tenant can say zenehena vizele chaser, and therefore he should be putter from paying, because the guy could say, look, I know normally I would need an apartment. However, you're not generating, you wouldn't normally get any income anyway. So it's a case of zenehena, he's getting hana. Vizeh, the person who owns it, lechaser. Or can the owner say, you're still getting hana. So even though normally I don't get any money for the apartment, but you're getting hana, therefore you should be chayef to pay. Rami Bar Chama said, he would tell Reb Chisda, the psak, if Reb Chisda would do some service for him, if would give him some shimush. The Magen Avram, in Simen Kuf Chaf Ches, points out that even though Reb Chisda was a kayin, and it's usher to ask a kayin to do shemesh for you. But from here, we have a raya that a kayin can be meichel on his kavod and can do shemesh anyway. The Mishnah HaMelech in Hilchas Avodim says that you can always use a kayin for shemesh as long as he gets something in return for it. Rami Bar Chama says, from our Mishnah here, we have a raya that zenehena v'zelei chaser is chayev. Since even though the Baal HaBehema didn't have hana from his behema eating barley, he still must pay. Gemara says this is a weak teretz. Since the owner of the barley loses, since now he has less barley. Therefore, it's not a case of zenehena v'zeh lechaser, but rather it's a case of zenehena v'zeh chaser. Gemara says if Reuven has three fields, which surround the field of Shimon, the Nikif, from three sides, and Reuven put up a fence to protect his fields from the grazing animals of Shimon, Shimon is not mechuyev to pay for any of the fence construction, since he has no hana, i.e. the fourth side is open, so his field isn't even enclosed. Mashma, that if all four sides were enclosed, Reuven would be chayev to pay. So again, we have a raya, zenehena v'zeh lechaser, chayev. Mara answers, no. This is a case of zenehena v'zeh chaser, since the only reason Reuven needed the fence was because Shimon Field was in the middle. Therefore, it's a case of chaser. We generally say that zenehena v'zeh lechaser is potter. According to the Pnei Yeshua, me'ikir hadin, he should be chayev. But we say, kaifen oisai al midas sedaim. We force the owner not to act according to the midas of Sedaim, in other words, not to be a Rasha, and therefore the Nene doesn't pay. According to Reb Chaim Telzer, Zenehene v'zelei chaser is pater, me'ikar hadin, since you only have to pay if the Baal HaBayis actually loses something. Otherwise, you're pater. That's why we say Zenehene v'zelei chaser is pater. The Gemara says if there is a house with two floors, a bayis, which is the bottom, and an aliyah, which is at the top, and the whole house fell down, the top person wanted the bottom person to rebuild, so he could rebuild his top, his aliyah on top of it, but the lower person refused, so the person at the top rebuilt the bottom, and he lived in it. And if the guy at the bottom wants now to live in it, he must pay the top guy for having to rebuild it. But the top guy doesn't have to pay rental. We see a riot from here. Zenehene v'zelei chaser is pater. The Gemara answers, this is different. Since without the bias, without the lower level, you can't build an aliyah. So since the Baal HaBayis didn't rebuild his chelek, the Baal HaAliyah is pater from paying rent. But it isn't because of Zenehen of Azaleh Chaser. It's because otherwise how would he have built his top part? That would be impossible to build without the bottom part. Therefore, that's why he's pater. Taf Chaf Aleph. Taisu says, even though we normally say Zenehen of Azaleh Chaser is pater, but if there's even a drop of Chaser, the Nena is mechuyev to pay. Because once there is some monetary loss, the klal of Kaifen Oisei Almidas Sadaim does not apply. From the Mishnah of the Gizbar, who lived below the Kaira of Evan of Hektish, he's chayev, even if he did it Shalei Midas Hektish. We have a raya from here, Hador b'chotze chaveir Shalei Midaitai chayev. Rabbi Chanan asks, how can you bring a raya from here? Mi'ila is chayev once you have Hana, and here he had Hana mehektish, masha'enkein by Zenehena. This is Mamanus. It's a difference between Hektish and Mamanus. From here, he brings a raya that Mi'ila is a din in Mamanus, since Hektish Shalei Midas is like Hedyat Midas. Rashi holds that the p'tur of Hadar b'chatzah chaveroi shalei midaito potter is only if he lives there shalei midaito. But if he lives in this particular apartment midaito, and the landlord kept quiet, then he would be mechuyev to pay. Taisu says this p'tur is by all cases, even midaito, since once we say zanehen of zelei chaser is potter, that applies to all cases. Rabbi Huna said in the name of Rav that Hadar b'chatzah chaveroi shalei midaito potter mischar is potter from paying rental, i.e. zanehen of zelei chaser is potter, since the pasuk in Yeshaya Chaf Dalet says, "V'shi'iya yukas shar," even the gates become destroyed when the demon haunts uninhabited places. So by living there, this person actually gives hana to the landlord, since he protects the property and he prevents the shade from living there. That's why he's pater from paying rent. Rabbi Yosef says, he's pater since Besa Mizva Yosef. A house that is inhabited will last much longer, since people who live there keep it in good condition and prevent it from coming dilapidated. Verses from the Mishnah, if a behema is in the middle of a street, and it turned its head towards the side of the street, machzekes, and ate from food in the front of a store, Rav says this is not considered shein b'shus harabim, but rather it's considered b'chotzer hanizik, and therefore the bal ha-behema is chayev. Shmuel says the bal ha-behema is potter, since the behema is in b'shus harabim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, this case of the Mishnah isn't machazeres, but rather a keren zavis, where the eating was in a corner where two streets meet. The Mishnah. A dog or a goat who jumped from a roof and broke kelim, since it's hezeka motzoi, this is considered regel, and the owner is chayev nezek shalem. Of course, this is only if the kelim, which were broken, are in the rishus hanizik, because it was in rishus harabim, he would be putter, because shein and regel are putter rishus harabim. Of course, karen is chayev rishus harabim. If a dog took a cookie that was together with a coal, with a hot coal, he ate the cookie, but he dropped the coal on a field and set it on fire. On the charara, on the cookie, the owner pays nezek shalim. This is shein. But on the field, the owner pays chatzi nezek. And the Gemara says, from our Mishnah, we see that tchilasei b'pshia, the seifei b'aynis, the owner is pater. If the dog fell off the roof versus jumping off the roof, which is an aynis, he's pater, since only jumping is chayef. It's tchilasei b'pshia, since the dog shouldn't have been on the roof in the first place. But in the end, it turned out to be an einus. If the wall was shaky, even if the animal fell and it was an einus, the owner is chayef, since this is sort of a pshia. Since the wall was unsturdy, he should have been more careful. Daf Chof Beis. If a dog jumps up versus jumping down and does damage, the owner is only chayef chatzi nezek, since this is uncommon, and anything with a shinoi is considered a tolda de karen. If a tarnagol jumps either up or down, or vice versa, it goes up, down, or whatever, then it's considered regel. And then it would be chayev nezek shalem. Same thing with a person, who's always chayev nezek shalem, since there's no different if it was mishuna or not, if a person does damage. If a dog took a coal to someone else's field and dropped it, and lit the field on the field, the owner pays chatzi nezek. Rabbi Yechanan says, if a person starts a fire in his rishus, and it spreads to a different rishus, he's chayev, since we say eishoi mishum chitzav. Fire is like an arrow. When he shoots an arrow, even though he's here, and the damage happens over there because the arrow travels, he still is mechuyev, since this is considered kaychai, it's considered his own power. Reish Lakish argues and says we don't say esho mishum chitzav, but rather he's chayev because we say esho mishum mamayne. It's his fire, so he's chayev on damage. Just like if his axe does damage, if the axe gores, he's chayev. The same thing here. If his fire damages that he owns, he's chayev alts mamayne. Rashi says the nafka mina in this machlekes would be if he started a fire, and the fire did not belong to him. So according to Reish Lakish, he would be putter. Taisa says, even if the fire does not belong to him, he's chayav anyway, because otherwise a person could start a fire, be mafkir the fire, and he'd be putter for damage. The pshat in Eshe Mishum Amayne means it's as if it belongs to him. The Gemara says if a camel is carrying flax in Rishus HaRabim, and the end of the flax went into a store and caught fire with the candle in it, and it created a big fire, then the Bal HaGomel is chayav. If, however, the candle was outside of the store, then the Bal HaChanus is chayav for the damage. Rabbi Yehuda says if the candle was a Ner Chanukah, then the Bal HaChanus is pater, since it's a mitzvah to put the Ner Chanukah outside due to Pirsumei Nisa. If you hold Eisha Mishum Chitzav, the Mishnah makes sense. That's why, if the flax enters the store, the Bal HaGomel is chayav, since his kayach created the fire. But if you hold Eshe Mishum Amayne, this Esh belongs to the storekeeper, so why would the Bal HaGomel be chayav? Reish Lakish would answer that the flax was so big, it put the whole store on fire, so the Bal HaGomel is chayav. The Gemara says if someone sets a heap of grain on fire, and a goat was tied next to it, and then an eved was chained next to the goat, so for the fire, the person is chayav misa for killing the eved, but he's potter for paying for the damages, because of kamle bidirabamine. We'll already punish him for the death of the Eved. He caused the death of an Eved, therefore he's chayav misa. So he can't be chayav for mamanus as well. This is good if you hold Eshem Mishum Chitzav, but if you hold Eshem Mishum Amainai, then you should be chayav for the mamanus part also, since it's as if you killed the Eved, but your property destroyed the field, the Gedi and the Eved. So there shouldn't be a din of kamle bidirabamine, because it's really two different things that cause two different damages. The Gemara answers, Reish Lakish will say that the man actually put the fire on the Eved, so he killed him mamish. Therefore we do say, Kamle bidrabamine. If someone sends a fire with a cheresh shaita the cotton, and the fire causes damage, the sender is pater midine odam, but is chayev midine shamayim. We bring a raya to the shita of Rabbi Yochanan that we hold Eshe Mishum Chitzav, since the pasuk in Shmais, Perakof Beis, ki seitze esh, the fire is teitze me'atzmai. It comes from the person himself. We know that the rule is, when there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we usually paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, except in a few places in Shas. And this would apply here as well. In the machlokes of Eshe Mishum Chitzav, Eshe Mishum Amayne, where Rabbi Yochanan holds Eshe Mishum Chitzav, and Reish Lakish holds Eshe Mishum Amayne, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that we hold Eshe is Mishum Chitzav. Making a fire is similar to shooting an arrow, and damages caused by this fire are considered as caused directly by the person who lit the fire. Mukhe Yosef asks a very interesting and famous kasha. If this is true that we hold Eshe Mishum Chitzav, then how is a woman allowed to light candles before Shabbos? According to Rabbi Yochanan, since we hold Eshe Mishum Chitzav, it should be that the fire which continues to burn after the Shkia is the kayach of the woman who lit them before Shabbos. So it's as if she's being Mechal Shabbos, because the fire is continuing into the Shabbos, it's from her kayach, and therefore it's like she's being Mechal Shabbos, because now an hour into Shabbos, it's as if she's lighting the fire. The same way when a person shoots an arrow, and 5 minutes later it hits something, the person is chayav for the damages. Then Mukhe Yosef answers that although the continuing fire is considered a continuing action of the one who started the fire, it's not considered as though he or she is constantly doing the new act of igniting the fire. Rather, than Mukhe Yosef explains, Rabbi Yochanan views all the fire's potential damage as encompassed in the initial act of the ignition. As soon as the fire is lit, it's considered as though all the subsequent damage was already done. The Mukhe Yosef illustrates this point by saying that if one lights a fire and dies before the damage was done, payment for the damages can be collected from the Yarsha. Although, as a rule, a person cannot incur liability once he's dead, in this case, his estate is held accountable since the deceased was liable as soon as he ignited the fire. Therefore, the same thing here with the woman who lights the candles before Shabbos. She lit the fire. That's it. Now the fire is already lit. So what happens for the next hour afterwards is already... It's continuing to burn, but rather the Maisa happened right before Shabbos. Therefore, she's not Mechal Shabbos. Noyah, halacha bizman hazeh, we could ask a very simple shayla halacha regarding this teretz of the Mukhe Yosef. We know that we have a heter to use Shabbos clocks, meaning that if a person, for example, if Shabbos begins at 6 p.m., and a person has the lights off in his house, and he sets the Shabbos clocks to go on at 7 p.m. after Shabbos already began, so that the family could sit down when it's dark and eat the su'udah of Shabbos. So we know that this is mutter. But according to the Mukhe Yosef, according to the Teretz of the Mukhe Yosef, if the key to lighting the fire is when the ignition actually begins, i.e. when the woman lights the fire before Shabbos, and what happens after on doesn't matter, because the fire was lit before Shabbos, and the Maisa happened before Shabbos. So that's okay when you're dealing with a fire, because once it's lit before Shabbos, it's lit already. It doesn't matter that it continues to burn into Shabbos. But when we're dealing with a Shabbos clock, no real Maisa happened before Shabbos. The Maisa of the ignition of the lights in the house at 7 p.m. are happening an hour into Shabbos. Therefore, the ignition is happening on Shabbos. So how can it be mutter to set a clock before Shabbos so it should go on Shabbos? Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Igrus Moshe, Orachayim, Chelek Dalad, Simen Samach, asks this question with regard to the question of Shabbos clocks. But paskins that given the fact that Kfar Nagu Ha'olam Heter Bezeh, based on Gedolei Hara Bizmanenu, that Shabbos clocks are in fact mutter to use. But he seriously considers this question on the Nemukhi Yosef as a reason to potentially aser Shabbos clocks. In the end, he comes out that Shabbos clocks are mutter because Kfar Nagu Ha'olam Heter Bezeh, based on the Gedolei Hara Bizmanenu. Ayin Sham in Igrus Moshe. Daf Chof Gimel. We know that Eish Potter B'Taman, that if a fire is lit, normally all the damage that is incurred as a result of this fire, the person who lit the fire is Chayef. But if something is hidden, the person could potentially be Potter. But if you hold Eish Mishum Chitzav, why should you be Potter? Our answer is Rabbi Yechanan, who holds Eish Mishum Chitzav, means that he's of course Chayef because of Eish Mishum Amayne, that goes without question, but he's also Chayef Eish Mishum Chitzav. So if according to Rabbi Yechanan, he holds your chayav because of both Eish Mishum Chitzav and Mishum Eish Mishum Amaynai, what's the nafkamina between him and Reish Lakish? Our answer is the nafkamina would be in the punishment of Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boishas. Only a man is chayav in these things, not his property, which does damage. So if a man does damage, only according to Rabbi Yochanan, you'd be chayav for these four, because he holds Eish Mishum Chitzav. But according to Reish Lakish, you'd be putter on these four things, because Eish Mishum Amaynai. When we say that if a dog drops a hot coal on a field and sets the field on fire, he's chayev. Who is chayev? The Baal HaKelev, or also the Baal HaGecheles, the one who owns the coal? We know that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal HaKelev would only be chayev to pay half, due to Chatzi Nezek Tzreiros. So let's be mechayev, the Baal HaGecheles, the other half. Our answer is, the Baal HaKelev watched his coal carefully, so he's putter. The dog got to the coal by breaking a door down, which was in front of the Gecheles. If a person incited a dog or a snake to bite, then he's putter. The inciter is putter, since it's considered a grama. But the Baal HaKelev may be chayev, since it was his dog that did the damage. If a man enters his friend's house without rishus, and he gets gored by an animal that's in the house, and he dies, the ox gets skila, since he killed, but the owner of the ox is potter from kaifer, since this man had no rishus to be in his friend's property. The Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda asks, what is the case of shor tam, that the chiyuv is only chatzi nezek, and a shor muad, where the owner pays nezek shalim? And he answers, a muad is if witnesses testified that on three separate days this ox gored. And tam is for 3 days this ox didn't gore. Rav Meir says, muad is if it gored 3 times, even if on the same day. And a tam is if kids play with the cow and it doesn't gore. Rav Yehuda says, muad is only on 3 separate days, since the pasuk in Shmais Chaf Aleph says, tmal shilshein, if it's done on separate days. Rav Meir disagrees and argues that goring 3 times in 1 day surely establishes the animal as a muad. He reasons that while it's true that the pasuk only mentions the case of goring on 3 separate days, nevertheless, logic dictates that richek nigi chaysav chayev, kirev nigi chaysav lekol shekein. If goring at distant intervals, i.e. on separate days, is taken as an indication of its wild nature, then surely if it gores at close intervals, i.e. the same day, it should indicate that the animal has a wild nature and should be deemed a muad.